The Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about simple life in Islam.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Friday, is the 25th of Rabiul Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and the 10th of November, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. This is chapter Hadid, verse 25. from the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Know that the life of this world is but amusement and diversion and adornment and boasting to one another and competition in increase of wealth and children. Like the example of a rain whose resulting plant growth pleases the tillers. Then it dries and you see it turned yellow. Then it becomes scattered debris. And in the hereafter is severe punishment and forgiveness from Allah and approval. And what is the worldly life except the enjoyment of delusion?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Since love for the mundane world is the origin of all sins and the springhead of all errors, the blessed verse presents a telling deception of worldly life, its different stages and the motives dominating each stage. The five cycles of human life consist of neglect, amusement, luxury, boasting, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to His supremacy. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Simple life in Islam is the topic of this episode of today's special. Things of comfort, outings, entertainment opportunities are not to be looked at as allowed and forbidden. We need to understand them as distractions. And distraction is a giant killer of progress and a major obstacle in one's development. It is an unwise step. The reason being then, when one indulges in these distractions, it leads to a waste of time, energy, and every other resource. Given that we have very limited resources, we can afford to waste them on distractions. Simple living, therefore, is not a mere moral or ethical formula. Rather, it is a key principle for a successful life. It is a safety device from all kinds of distractions, and saving oneself from distractions ensures that time, money, and energy is used in a better way to attain success in this world and the next after death.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. In today's show, we are going to talk about the Islamic perspective on living a simple life. So living a simple life from the perspective of Islam is an embodiment of the religion's core principles. It promotes contentment, moderation, charity, humility, and gratitude by prioritizing spiritual well-being and meaningful human connections over material wealth and worldly desires Muslims aim to find balance, peace, and fulfillment in their lives. It is a path of aligning one's life with the essence of Islam and embracing a simple yet profoundly meaningful way of living. The teachings of Islam guide individuals to lead that resonates with spiritual depth and moral excellence. I hope that you find it quite informative and enjoy the show. I'd just like to invite you to join us again in our upcoming session. Today we've talked about the simplicity, about the importance of a simple life and lifestyle from the perspective of Islam, and we looked at the treatment, we looked at the Sunnah and the conduct of the Holy Prophet in brief also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to learn from these Islamic and divine teachings and act upon them, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain.
One of the secrets to simple living is starting creating space and time for what matters. Only you can decide what you've been clearing away all these things to make room for. More time with your family, space to start a new hobby, traveling to a place you've always wanted to go, or just a life that you no longer dread living. Some people find it helpful to write a list of their priorities and then compare that list to how you are spending your money. Is your number one priority supposedly your family and friends, but you spend very little time with them because of how much you work? Then maybe something needs to change. Of course, we all have responsibilities and a career is a part of the life. Financial independence is not a reality for most for us. But don't work your life away just to have money for things you don't even need. And the last part of today's special, is it better to live a simple life? This question is something only you can answer. You get to pick what you want your life to be. Try some tips and ideas listed here and see where it takes you. A simple life might mean watching less TV to start baking your own bread. Or it could mean quitting baking bread because it drives you crazy and you finally have no time to watch a little TV. It's up to you. It's your time, your life, and your definition of happiness. Maybe you'll enjoy less stress, better wealth, and quality time with people you love. Maybe you'll find contentment with where you are right now. Or maybe you'll find that you are someone who enjoys the pursuit of more, more, and more. If it takes you happy in the end, there is truly nothing wrong with that.
Humble yourself before your Lord and before mankind. An arrogant person with people, when you see him arrogant, dealing arrogantly with people, he is also arrogant with God when he deals with God. How do we become arrogant with God? When I go home and tell him, God, where are you? Give me. You didn't give me today. I'm unhappy. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to worship you. This is arrogance. This is arrogance. when I fight with God. I'm not doing him a favor when I pray. I'm doing myself a favor. God is not waiting there, sitting there and waiting for my fasting and my prayers and my dua. God said to Moses, Moses, if entire mankind, they don't pray, I'm not going to be hurt. And if in the entire mankind, they pray and worship me, I'm not going to rejoice that. Nothing is going to change me. Neither they are going to hurt me nor benefit me. If they don't pray, they hurt themselves. They disconnect themselves from the source of love and mercy and affection. They disconnect themselves. God is not going to be hurt. So humble yourself before God. And you need in your life private moments to be alone by yourself. Don't let your parents watch you or know about your location or hear your voice or see your image. Be by yourself. Whether it is your bedroom, whether it's the beach, whether it's the forest, whether it's the wood, whether it's the mountain, be by yourself and talk to God with a humility. And converse with God. God loves to hear your voice. The prophet says sometimes we pray and God does not answer. Not because he doesn't want to answer. God says, because I need to hear this voice more. If I fulfill the need for him, he's not going to pray anymore. I'm going to lose his voice. So I delay his need. I don't fulfill it for him. I don't give it to him. So he keeps praying and I keep listening and enjoying his voice. God wants to hear your voice and your intimate voice, not your diplomatic voice.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us ponder on a gem of an advice from the Holy Prophet's first infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. He who adopts greed as a habit devalues himself. He who discloses his hardship agrees to humiliation. And he who allows his tongue to overpower his soul debases the soul.
Take pieces of bread from me
and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about the value and virtue of attaining the knowledge of Allah. As you know, knowledge is a very central virtue within Islam. Without knowledge, none of the other virtues would be attainable. Obviously, we have to know about that they are virtuous and have to know what they are in order to attain them. So knowledge has a very significant role within the the hierarchy of Islamic virtues. And the pinnacle of this virtue of knowledge is the knowledge of God Almighty. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "He who attains knowledge of Allah has achieved perfection in his knowledge indeed." And it's also transmitted that he said, "The fruit of knowledge is attaining knowledge of Allah." In this connection, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has been reported as having said, "If people knew the virtue of knowing Allah, mighty and exalted, they would never extend their gaze to the splendor and bounties of the life of this world that Allah has granted to the enemies. They would then regard such people's worldly goods to be more significant than the dust under their feet. And they would take great pleasure at attaining knowledge of Allah, mighty and exalted, and would savor it as if they were tasting the experience of being in the gardens of paradise with the friends of Allah." Right, so in this beautiful hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he mentions the result of this knowledge of God. If we had this knowledge of God, we would understand the insignificance of this world, and we would we would no longer, desire it, and we would, forsake it because of the sweetness and the pleasure that we would get from knowing God. In continuation, the Imam says, "Verily, the inner knowledge of Allah is an intimate companion in every type of desolation." So here, the Imam, he mentions the reason why it's so valuable, and the reason why if we had it, we would actually no longer desire, the worldly goods and the things of this world. Because when we have this knowledge of God, it gives us peace and solace in whenever we are desolate and whenever we are lonely. And, it lifts up our spirits in every situation. It is a friend in every type of loneliness, a light in every darkness, a source of strength from all weakness, and a cure for all ailments. This is why it's so valuable and why it is considered such a great virtue. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtue of attaining knowledge of God in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really, really happy that I have Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider with me in this session. Salaam alaikum, brothers, and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Ali Nasir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Welcome.
Great.
Welcome. And Hassan, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And Fawad, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. So, everybody is fine. Alhamdulillah, here with us. Hope you are fine and healthy as well, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Inshallah, today we will talk about three verses from Surah Al-An'am on page 130. Brothers and sisters, I hope you have your Quran with you. Turn to page 130, Ayah 20. Second, ayah 23rd and ayah 24th of this surah. So, everybody, let's get started by listening to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa yawma nahshuruhum jami'a thumma naqulu lilladhina ashraku ayna shuraka. أَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ ثم لم تكن فتنتهم إلا أن قالوا والله ربنا ما كنا مشركين انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم وضل عنهم ما كانوا يفترون.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir and Fawad. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's first and foremost see what Allah Almighty says in these three verses, and then we'll move on to the tajweed rules. Okay?
Yes.
Allah Almighty says in Ayah 22nd of Surah Al-An'am, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَيْنَ شُرَكَاؤُكُمُ الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ. On the day of judgment, okay? وَيَوْمَ, on the, it means the day of judgment. Well, on the day of judgment, نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا, when we gather them all together, who? The Zalimun, okay? The wrongdoers, the Mushrikun, okay? The pagans, the non-believers, the infidels. When on the day of judgment, when we gather them all together, ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, and we shall say to those who ascribed partners to Allah Almighty, to the Mushrikin, those who were believing in many gods, those who were counting partners for Allah Almighty, yes?
Yes.
We'll tell them, أَيْنَ شُرَكَاؤُكُمُ الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ. Where are your partners that you used to claim? Where are your gods? Okay? أَيْنَ شُرَكَاؤُكُمُ. Where are they? You were thinking like, for example, if I don't believe in God, for example, the king will give me a lot of money. If I support the king, if I worship the king, if I become always a servant for the king might give me money in these things, blah, blah, blah. Or there are a lot of people, okay, who are non-believers. Why? Because مَالُ الدُّنْيَا غَرَّهُمْ. Okay? It means that the dunya, the money, the wealth, okay? They have like kind of deceived them. That's why they become non-believers to Allah Almighty. So some people, when Allah Almighty says in the day of judgment, we will ask them, okay, where are your partners? Those who were helping you in that in the world, okay? Where are they? Come on, ask them to help you. أَيْنَ شُرَكَاؤُكُمُ الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ, okay? Where are those partners that you had? And you were always proud of them, that you have them with you. Where are they? And also we can say that Allah Almighty for sure will ask them, where are the gods that you were believing in? You were saying there is a God who helps me always. You were worshipping the idols, okay? The asnam, the idols. Where are they? Come on, ask them to help you. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. It's a very clear thing that the idols, God forbid, they really don't deserve. They're man-made. You yourself craft something, huh? And you start worshipping. Oh, it is my God. Stop kidding yourself. Yes, you might have heard the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's amazing when he cracked all those idols, yes?
Yes.
And then at the end, okay, just placed the eggs, okay, on the shoulder of the big one, okay? The great one. Then when the people came, who broke the idols? Who demolished them, okay? Then Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam said, ask the big one. He said, hey, are you kidding? They cannot talk. They cannot do that. Then the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam said, if your God does not have such a power to talk, to defend itself, how is that God going to save you, going to defend you? How? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam made them think about it a little, okay? So here as well, we have to tell those who are pagans, okay? Hey man, in the day of judgment, if Allah Almighty asks you, where are your partners, where are your gods, okay? You are worshipping them, you are asking help every single day from them, okay? Where are they? Ask them to help you. Nobody's going to help them. Why? Because they were the gods, okay? They were just have imaginations. They were imaginations. تزعمون زعم. They were just fantasy. Not the truth, yes? The reality was that the God is one. The reality is that the God is one. But they were worshipping others than the God. Next ayah says, ثُمَّ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِتْنَتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. Then they will bring excuses. What? Then their only excuse will be to say, by Allah, we swear, our Lord, we were not polytheists. Because they will have no way to run away, okay? There is no door open for them to run away, okay? From the adab of Allah Almighty in that day. Then they will bring excuses. Oh God, hey, we really didn't believe in those gods. We didn't believe, okay? We only believed in you. God says, stop kidding me, okay? You were the ones who were believing in those idols. So ask them to help you if they can. Then, انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم. Look how they forswear themselves. وضل عنهم ما كانوا يفترون. And what they used to fabricate has forsaken them. It means whatever they do will again make them lose, okay, the blessing of Allah Almighty. Alright, so these are things shortly we mentioned. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, and learn more about the Tafsir.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Savior International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه غرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
We will move on to the Tajweed rules now, and we will mention some of the important ones. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا. Make sure you do not pronounce شُرُهُمْ with a long vowel. شُرُهُمْ. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ. No. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ. Short vowel, okay? It happens. Sometimes students might pronounce them with a long vowel. But that's wrong, okay? Hassan?
وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ. The letter ha and hum, ha.
They are different. جَمِيعَ عَيْن. So, Fawad tell us.
وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ
إخفاق.
I should hide the sound. The sound of what?
The sound of the tanween.
Tanween, where?
جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ
أحسن.
وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ
ميم مشدد. Extend the sound. نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. You can extend the mad, but it's not wajib. Why?
Because Hamza.
Hamza in the next word.
Yeah.
It's in a separate word, yes?
Yes.
If they were together, the mad and the Hamza, harful mad, which is waw here, أَشْرَكُوا. We have three huruful mad, three mad letters. Alif, waw, ya.
Yeah.
Okay? If you have Hamza right after them, you should look, should be careful. If the Hamza and the vowel sound both are in one word, the mad becomes wajib. You should extend it for 5-6 counts. But if they are in two separate words, you don't need to extend it. It's just an optional extension.
ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَيْنَ شُرَكَاء.
This one is wajib. شُرَكَاءُكُمْ. شُرَكَاء. This is wajib. Mat, alif, harful mat, mat letter, alif, and the hamza, u, both are in one word, shuraka. Yes. So that's why the mat is
wajib.
You should extend it to 5-6 counts.
Aina shuraka'ukum alladhina kuntum taz'umun. Kuntum.
Ikhfa.
Hide the sound. ثُمَّ We should make it longer, yes? Make the sound longer. ثُمَّ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَكُنْ نُنْ سَاكِنْ فَا after it. إِخْفَى hide it. لَمْ تَكُنْ فِتْنَتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا again, the mad is not wajib. إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا you hide the sound of noon. قَالُوا قَاف has a heavy sound. وَاللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ Allah will be pronounced with a heavy sound. رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ انظر انظر you put a dhamma on the top of hamzatul wasl, you assign it with hamzatul with dhamma. Why?
Because the third letter has a dhamma.
Third letter has a dhamma. انظر كيف كذبوا على انفسهم again hide the sound. وضل عنهم ميم مشدد ما كانوا يفترون. So, that's all. Very easy rules. Let's recite and practice. Ready?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, as you're listening, listen and repeat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا
وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا
ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَيْنَ شُرَكَاؤُكُمُ الَّذِينَ كُنتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ
ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَيْنَ شُرَكَاؤُكُمُ الَّذِينَ كُنتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ
ثُمَّ لَمْ تَكُنْ فتنتهم إلا أن قالوا والله ربنا ما كنا مشركين
ثم لم تكن فتنتهم إلا أن قالوا والله ربنا ما كنا مشركين
انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم
انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم
وضل عنهم ما كانوا يفترون
وضل عنهم ما كانوا يفترون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Thank you so much. Allah bless you, dear sisters and brothers, for listening to IRIB English Radio. Hassan Hussein, Ali Nasser and Fawad, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, Sevilla International Schools. So, that's all from us for today. See you in the next session. Stay with IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. This is Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And here with me, I have Sister Bita and Brother Mustafa. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Yeah, of course, the pleasure is all ours. And then, as the ritual of this program goes, please introduce yourself very briefly.
Sure. My name is Sayyid Mustafa, and I've lived in different parts of the world, but I'm originally from Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And I'm a student here in Qom, and I'm studying psychology here in Hawza.
Yeah, that's great.
And it comes to me, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, our dear listeners, and my dear host and dear brother here. It's an honor for me to be here again at Back to Reality. I am Bita, and I'm studying at one of the Tehran's university, and I'm studying medicine, by the way, and an honor for me to be here.
So wish both of you luck and success.
Thank you.
And happy for you to be here. There is this word that is war, and it has got too much of things to connote to. And that is so sad when we think of war. And it's even more sad when you think of the very fact that, okay, it's the 21st century, and still there are some wars in this world. In the world that we feel like science is so much improved and developed, in the world in which people are studying, the means of education are too much, in the world in which people can talk to each other, in the world in which people can be kinder to each other because they know many things. They are not like the primitive people. They can no longer say that I don't have any idea about this or that fact. No, they are all aware of the things that is happening around them, but still, there's war. Why?
Well, I would challenge the assumption that you just made, that people know what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think actually people necessarily know always what's going on around them. But because there's so much propaganda in the world that people are misled by that propaganda, right?
Yeah.
Whenever there's a war, there's always two sides to it. Each side thinks they're the right ones.
Exactly.
They're accusing the other ones. So that's one big part of it. It's just there's a lot of propaganda and ignorance mixed together, which causes like so much confusion and so much conflict.
You know what I say when I say that everybody knows everything? I always say that about religion, for example. When I say people, they have, because we have been asked to search about different religions and then pick the best one. So when they say that, okay, there are other people from different religion, and I say, okay, how they could stay ignorant toward a thing which is talked about too much? Just as you were saying, there are two sides.
Yeah.
Okay, there are words about two sides that have been getting viral nowadays. So we know, actually, we can at least have a hint about which one is the truest.
Yeah, that now you're assuming that everyone is able to think rationally and has access to the same information, right? I don't think a lot of people think rationally. They think, most people, in fact, if you talk to them, they do not speak logically. If not most, at least some people, right? Let's say if you speak to someone from another religion, if you have a debate, many times they will not speak to you on logical terms, right? I don't know if you ever experienced that or not.
I think like the first reason why we think that there shouldn't be any war is that we're living in an individualism world, okay? There is individualism every day, everywhere. And we think like, okay, if you have this opinion, it's yours. You shouldn't just communicate it to other people. It's yours and that's okay, okay? And it's not like that, unfortunately. You are looking at the world idealistically. And most of the people that we are calling them wise, that we are assuming that they are pursuing the peace world, that we have to live in a world out of any war and out of anything, and that they are looking at it idealistically. It's impossible. Even at the moment of spreading Islam, we had to have some wars. Okay, after talking to them, after telling them in a peaceful way, there are some group of people who don't accept the truth of this world, okay? And there is no way to get them in the right way. And even we have so many verses in Holy Quran.
So in those occasions where we are going to achieve something beyond what exists right now, maybe war is inevitable. But still, there's too much about war. Let's go for a short break and then we'll be back. Welcome back, dear listeners. So you're listening to Back to Reality, and thank you for joining us. So, well, we're talking about war. Why in this world in which people claim to be so rational, so wise, and be involved and engaged with science and different theories, still they do believe in war?
You know what, I think the form and image that we have from a war is different than what it should be. So the problem is not war itself. It's the image that we are making out of it, okay? It's the way that we are doing it. We are sacrificing the lives of people for this war. The people who are innocent, the people who are have nothing to do with the beliefs of two sides, okay? And this is what should be discussed here, that why these innocent people are being sacrificed in wars, okay?
One huge reason that there are wars is because of human greed, selfishness.
People know
what they're doing is wrong many times. It's not like they're completely ignorant of what they're doing. It's because of their greed and selfishness. Like you mentioned, the wars that we had in Islam at the beginning, it was because those people were unwilling to let go of their sort of ruthless, selfish system, right? If they're willing to do that, there would be no war. When you try to enforce justice, those greedy people that are out there will war with you, and then you're forced to fight with them, right? To enforce justice.
Yeah, that's very true. But, you know, still, this question remains there, that in such a rational world, what could we do to fight war?
So definitely education is one of those things, to educate people, to raise awareness. But like we've said, there are people out there, they know what the right thing is, but because they're greedy, if somebody comes into your house to kill you, you're not going to be able to talk to them. You're not going to sit down and rationalize and say, hey, why are you...
Shake sense into their head.
No, because they are not willing to do that with you. And therefore, you have to defend yourself. And in Islam, pretty much all wars are defensive wars. We're not told to attack others.
Yeah.
We're not
told to like... We've never started a war.
Right, right.
It has been imposed on us. It has been imposed on us.
You know, the sentence that I believe in is that you can wake up someone who's asleep, but you cannot wake up someone who pretends to be asleep.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, it's exactly the same for all the wars that happens in the world, especially in the 21st century, that we're living in a world full of wise people, full of philosophers, full of people who claim that they know everything about the systems that is controlling over us, okay? And the thing that... is the main reason of why wars happens and why people believe that they have to sacrifice something in order to defend whatever they believe is prejudice. Okay?
Yeah. Mm.
And this prejudice is something that is killing people because they have this background about something and they don't want to put themselves in difficulty to go for that. So seek knowledge. As you mentioned, knowledge is the key here. When you have knowledge, you don't have prejudice. And when you are a prejudiced person, you don't have the knowledge about the thing that you even, you yourself believe in, okay?
Exactly.
And this is, I think, why people go for war, because they don't want to go another way to seek knowledge, because it's more difficult, because it takes time, because it takes energy.
So in order to fight wars, we have to improve our knowledge, and
exactly.
Education is the first thing that we have to do. And then another thing that you mentioned, which is too good to think about, is prejudice. So we shouldn't go for the idea that, okay, because of this biased idea that is circling around this topic, so I'm not going to get there or get some new information about it, because I already have set my mind on the fact that what I think about is the truest thing. So we should go for different aspects of each issue that happens around us in order to get a closer connection to the truth itself. Because as you just said, through these propagandas nowadays, maybe finding the truth would be so difficult, because everybody has got a way to speak, and maybe some of them know the tricks of the trade, and then they could affect people's idea and the way they think.
I think we must understand how to like read propaganda, how to do sort of fight propaganda. I would say today there's a war, not just a physical war. There's like a mental war, right?
Exactly.
There's
a
soft war that's going on. So in order to sort of defend ourselves, we have to educate ourselves against that propaganda, educate others. I don't think wars are ever going to go away. As long as there's going to be human beings, there's probably going to be wars, you know? It's not something.
As long as there are some powers who want everything for themselves, who want to hoard everything in this world for themselves,
exactly.
Then there is war.
Right. Because, that's one of the other reasons for war is resources, right? People fight over resources, over land, over water, over oil.
Yeah, that's power, generally speaking.
Yeah, so that's not going to go away, unfortunately.
But then there's a tragic part about war that we're going to talk about it after the break. So stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
So, welcome back. This is Back to Reality, and this is actually the last part of today's episode. We're talking about the most excruciating word in the world, that is war. And we came to the most tragic part of the war, that is the innocent people who are getting killed. See, there are some powers fighting over something, and then the victims of this fighting are children, women, and human beings.
Yeah.
Different sort of human beings. I mean, considered to be children, the elderly, the women, even men. As you can see through different wars, there are many stories that we could read in novels and stories, and that is so heart-touching.
You know, my brother mentioned something that as human beings are here, we're going to have war with each other, okay? And I have to, I think, mention that point that after the reappearance of our last infallible, which we believe in it as Mahdism or Mahdaviya, this justice will be overruling this whole world, and no war is going to happen again after... all these oppressors will be deleted from this world.
We have been promised for that, and we are sure of that to happen. But before that day
We have this hope. We have this hope for this utopia, and this hope is the light that we are seeking for in everyday's life.
Yeah.
Okay? And put that aside, I want to tell you that we are living in a world full of informations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And because of this, maybe some people think that because there are more information, then there is more knowledge, but it's not like that. We are living in a fake world of informations, okay?
Yeah.
So it's really important to be that wise, to be that clever, to find a right way out of the wrong thing. And I think this day, the definition of faith, the definition of being a human being, is to find the right thing out of all these lies.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So, brother, I have a question about these guys who impose wars on the oppressed people and the innocent people. Don't they have a heart in their chest? Don't they see just the pictures of what they create?
Their hearts have become hard, right? They're no longer feeling those feelings or those empathy that you and I would say as a normal human being is able to feel. And that's the really unfortunate part about war, is that it turns human beings into animals, right?
Yeah. How they justify themselves?
So normally, that's what I'm saying. The justification is either coming through some propaganda or their own selfishness and their desire to be more powerful or gain that thing over. And that's how they're able to justify it to themselves. Yeah. A lot of these people, they view other human beings just as animals, right?
Exactly.